bored. Keep trying to use the bathroom and it keeps not happening. Maybe my chaser can call in and make some weird comments about that. Do you feel like he was trying to be an instigator there?
I don't know.
We were trying to smooth things over.
I was trying to be friends with them, but I just don't feel like Fatboy and I got on very well.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, I did my part. Look, I don't want to be the guy.
You did. They started poking at him, too, though. They weren't being very nice to my chick.
At who?
Well, Mike and them were just kind of like...
Well, that's, I'm not getting involved with that. That's their own squabble. No, you know what it is? They call... Look, I have to... Let's be honest. We got off the air yesterday. They called us, and they called me anyway, yesterday afternoon. Very contrite about the whole thing. You know what? I'm willing to be the bigger man. Not the bigger man. That's the wrong way to put it. But I'm willing to be a man and move forward with it. I'm willing just to put it behind us. We got... Every moment we're busy... Yeah, it's wrong to say the bigger man. Because they did call. But I'm willing to move on and just put it behind us. Every moment we're talking about that is a moment that we can't be going to your personal savior, Tim Riley, at the City Desk.
Well, they seem like a couple of fine young fellows.
No, they... You know what? I did mean what I said. You know, the geeks got to stick together. So I can move forward.
Well, from high atop the bottom of the Koi Tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek. Tim Riley reporting. A big gas leak in northwest Portland. This is on Northwest Broadway. It's closed that street next to the Greyhound station. What happened? Well, somebody from Northwest Natural used a concrete saw to cut through their own 12-inch gas main. I wonder if somebody had suicide on their mind for some reason.
Don't.
Anyway, the gas could be smelled for several blocks away and could be heard hissing. All the ne'er-do-wells usually loiter in front of the Greyhound station were told to go elsewhere.
Do we have that snuff watch?
I suppose we do.
We should probably do that because all of the Pink Floyd guys are going crazy about it and they're all...
Okay, you Pink Floyd guys.
Emailing repeatedly. The funny thing, Jim Roop called, and I realized as we were talking about June Allison, that I don't really know what she's been in. I mean, I just sort of know her. I know June, she was in Little Women. That's the only thing I realized, that I know June Allison primarily as a woman who was in a lot of things, but I don't really know those things.
Women's movies, unless you sit around and watch those.
It's like, what's her name? What's her name? Jane Mansfield?
Yeah.
Like, I realized that I know Jane Mansfield as a woman who's legendary for having been in a bunch of things. I don't really know what
Jane
she was
Mansfield's
in.
Jane Mansfield's Death Car on A&E last night.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Jane Russell.
Yeah.
What was Jane Russell in?
Oh, I don't know. She...
I only know Jane Russell for selling bras for us full figure gals.
Oh, she was, yeah.
Yeah.
She had a large bust. That's all I remember as
a
being.
A large bust. Yeah. 1920.
Probably not so much now, if she's still around. Well, it's probably still there. It's just in... Well, never mind. We're here for the snuff watch, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Well, June Allison, she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I got all this email. All the arty guys are emailing it about this, so we have to do this one.
About Jane Russell, or?
Not about Jane Russell. Oh. Jane Russell's still alive, isn't she?
We'll have to find out. I'm not sure.
We're doing that thing again.
We do know the guy from Cool and the Gang is dead because I have it right here.
Did you just say Cole and the Gang?
No, Cool and the Gang.
Oh, Cool and the Gang.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having them on Thursday. How, if they're dead?
Well, this is one of the members of the gang, and it's not Cool. It is, well, let's get back to the original dead person, shall we? It is Pink Floyd guitarist Syd Barrett, dead at the age of 60.
60, but looked like
dead
about...
boomer.
Yeah, looked like about 90, by the way.
He's one of the original members of the legendary group Pink Floyd.
But, you know, he was a member of the group before they became legendary, by the way, and much of what he contributed to that group has been overrated and blown out of proportion by historical revisionists who like to pretend that it's listenable and interesting, which it's not.
Apparently, he passed away, quote, very peacefully a couple days ago.
Of course it was peaceful. He was a simpleton. Do you all know the Syd Barrett story? Syd Barrett is the guy who founded Pink Floyd long before anybody heard of them or cared of them outside of whatever the West End.
Is that the man with the triangle on the album?
Well, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, because
Corey was wearing a Pink Floyd shirt. Did you see that?
Yeah, but he was wearing a Dark Side of the Moon shirt because no one cares about the first two albums. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to sound like I'm picking a fight about it. But here's the thing. Syd Barrett, to me, is one of those guys who, Syd Barrett is like a Bill Hicks to me. And I don't know if you know who Bill Hicks is. Bill Hicks was a comedian who died young and was therefore brilliant. You know, is because even if you're not brilliant, if you die really young, or if like Syd Barrett, you are effectively dead. Because Syd Barrett founded Pink Floyd, took a billion drugs, fried his brain into nothingness, moved back home with his mom and dad, ballooned up, became a big, in the words of Roger Waters, became a great big, bald, fat person, and just sat around the house with the brain of a 12-year-old for the last 40 years of his life. I mean, that's the thing. He found a Pink Floyd. He went crazy like 3 years in. They kicked him out of the group. He went home and lived his life effectively as a child for the last 40 years, and then he's dead.
It said his mental state was said to be affected by drugs.
Yeah, because he became a recluse. He dropped acid and went crazy. But, to boil it down. But not unlike Bill Hicks, who was a comedian who died young of cancer, he's not, you know, he did this thing early on, and then he effectively died. Therefore, it's genius. Which is what you always hear about Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks, in the words of Michael Chase, actually, Michael Chase said this, that Bill Hicks died and left a good-looking intellectual corpse, meaning he died early enough and young enough, and he was and that's the other thing. Bill Hicks died young and obscure, so therefore, and we all know that everything that's obscure is better than things that are popular. Being popular is wrong and bad, and things that are popular are never as good as things that only you and your other art school friends know about. So that's why you hear, therefore, Bill Hicks is like, you know, the most overlooked comedian of all time. Therefore, you hear that Sid Barrett's Pink Floyd is so much better than Dark Side of the Moon because it sold like 5 copies. Therefore, it's genius. So, there you go.
They'll have a private funeral like Ken Lay.
Zing! And there's a little comedic callback. And he's dead. Snuffwatch. Over. Tim was just handed something. Did somebody else die?
No, this is that Tim Cullen game, remember, we mentioned it a couple months ago.
You know, your microphone is turned away from your mouth and no one can hear what you're saying.
Well, this Cullen game guy who died was 57. He is Clades Charles Smith. He died in New Jersey after a long illness.
It's a bad place to go.
He was surrounded by his cats. So.
Okay. Doesn't it seem like there should be some sort of Cullen the gang Goski joke?
No.
Governor Cullen gang Goski?
No.
No.
It doesn't sound that way at all.
No. Okay.
I do have something else that's very important here. The same nurse who's at Gulf of Mexico. The same nurse. Is that a big gulp of Mexico?
The big gulp of Mexico. Thank you.
So I have to tell you about this nurse who signed the birth certificate for Tom Cruise's daughter, who also signed the birth certificate for Brooke Shields' daughter.
What? I don't even understand.
So they're saying that it actually exists.
Mm-hmm. All right. But there's an interesting discrepancy. Both babies were born on April 18th at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. Anne Hepperman is the registered nurse who signed both. But Hepperman, who never saw Surrey, signed her birth certificate. The hospital rep says Hepperton is authorized to sign when a doctor is not available. On Surrey's birth certificate, Hepperton's license number is G48079. Meanwhile,
I'm not even listening to this story.
You should be.
But I'm waiting for it. No, here's the thing. Is Tim's going to read it, and then when we're done, Sarah's going to tell me what the story was about, because I'm confused.
That's the name of the story. I mean, that's the end of the story.
Okay,
that's
Sarah. What's the deal?
Nobody has still seen the baby, including the doctor that supposedly delivered him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that possible?
Because this nurse signed birth certificates for a baby she never saw.
That's creepy.
But who delivered the baby, though?
It said that the doctor who delivered it was unavailable. So she signed the birth certificate. Mm. So somebody else did.
A big wad of cash in an envelope delivered that
to you. It does get creepy. Hey, did you see that South Park Scientology episode got nominated for an Emmy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Tom Cruise got nominated for an Emmy. Now pull out my gun!
Here's Tim Riley. One more. A San Antonio woman who used a cast iron skillet to seriously injure one of her relatives has been hailed as a hero.
Fantastic.
Police say Deborah Tierra struck her uncle and cousin over the head with a 10-pound frying pan after the pair had allegedly stabbed the woman's husband and her father outside their home. You do what you have to do to protect your loved ones, said the woman with the skillet. George Tiana, 46, and their 19-year-old son, Adam, who had just been released from prison,
fantastic,
were taken into the woman's home, and they suffered head injuries. The men are charged with aggravated assault. The woman's husband and father suffered superficial injuries.
All right.
Despite using the cookware as a weapon, she's not expected to face charges because she was defending her loved ones.
Okay, then. There you go. Rick, this email says, Mike Chase equals Emperor Palpatine. Who knew Mike Chase was really a Dark Lord of the Sith? Who is the second? Who is his master bent on destruction? Could it be? And then there's a big picture of Lars Larson standing in front of a flag. May the force be with you, John, in North Portland. There you go. All right. Okay.
I have nothing left that would interest you.
Oh.
Of course you do, Tim. Maybe not right now. Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitchenbach from the Portland Tribune. It's quite a day, Dennis. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Too kind. How are you, Dennis?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
It's a bit of a busy day.
It's a bit hectic.
We appreciate you squeezing me in.
As soon as you said that the day was speeding up, it has just slowed down. Not with you, but as soon as we had Gordon Fatboy on.
See, say Gordon Boomer?
Yes.
There ought to be a drinking game in this company every time somebody says Gordon Boomer. We'd all be drunk constantly. No, it's just true. Well, that matter, my nose could have my nose predates my time here. I'm just saying the truth.
I met Boomer once.
I'm saying that I'd never met him.
He's a nice guy. I met him at the puppetry of the penis thing. He was a judge with me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. I should get these calls, and then we should do the pop culture thing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here's what we've done. We were talking about the World Series of Pop Culture, and that Portland team, what are they called, PDX 503?
Mm-hmm.
They won, apparently, and I have to go back. I was boasting that I can't watch those shows because it pains me, because I'm so clearly meant to conquer all on those programs. So have you actually gotten questions from the show?
I have some questions from... they didn't post all of the questions from the show, but they posted questions and then some of the practice questions and stuff. So I have, 50 questions here.
So, Scotty, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take caller number 5 here. Caller number 5.
Can I ask for a clarification?
Okay, can you just hold on a second? I'm just doing a thing here. I got to give out the call to action.
Oh, sorry.
We'll take caller number 5 at 503-733-2970. Mike Chase, if you can just wait on. 503-733-2970. Just for competing and then losing against me in this pop culture tournament, you will win a pair of tickets to the Oregon Air Show, the Oregon International Air Show, which happens all this weekend. I think the pass are good for all weekend, by the way. 90,000 people are going to be there. And so you see, they're going to have all kinds of planes, all kinds of demonstrations, all kinds of events. We're going to be out there. We're going to have that paper airplane tournament and so forth. So just for competing against me, Rick Emerson, You will lose, of course, and then you will take away as a consolation prize to mend your shattered and wounded ego a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, well, I was going to get these calls about Bill Hicks. Well, never mind. All right, Dennis, so what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to ask.
What?
Clarification on exactly, is this era specific? I mean,
I haven't seen any of the questions.
When you say pop culture, I mean...
haven't seen a single question. I didn't watch the show.
Men of our 30s, we commonly refer to that as somewhere between 79 and 89.
I am just saying, I didn't watch the show last night. This whole thing grew out of the fact that I didn't watch the show. So I haven't watched the show. I don't know any of these questions. Sarah will be administering the questions. And then, Dennis, if you want to play too, it'll be you, me, and the caller.
Okay. And then, I just watched Rockstar Supernova over and over and over again.
Good for you, sir. We'll talk about that here in a while. So it'll be you, me, and the caller. We'll all play very hard. In the end, I will win. And then the caller will take away a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show.
If I didn't know you any better, I would say that you were boasting, but I know that you're pop culture.
You know it's true. Scotty came in. He's like, how will the audience know it's not a setup, that you didn't see the answers ahead of time? I'm like, hello, because it's me.
He needs some...
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I hope that this listener...
That's how I roll. No, all right. Is this Joe?
Joe. This is he.
Yeah. All right. Hello. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm fine.
He's a little crazy.
I'm a little crazy. It's been a weird day.
It has been.
We had the great news hour, and then I forget what happened. The 1 o'clock hour was just all these random but funny calls. Gordon Fatboy, and that was awkward, and then it was fine, and then it was triumphant and tear-jerking because of my fantastic St. Crispin's Day speech, and then it was awkward again, and then Mike Chase called in. It was weird. No offense, I like Mike, but goddamn. And then Dennis is here, and then we got Carlin and all this stuff. All right, so are you ready to play the pop culture game, sir?
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. Sarah will give the question. The first person who knows the answer, simply say your name. So, Joe, if you know the answer, you say Joe. And then if I know, I'll say Rick, et cetera. Sarah will keep score. We'll do as many questions as we have time for. At the end, I will win. And, Joe, you will take away a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show as a consolation prize.
Joe, don't let him talk to you like that.
That sounds fantastic.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. And pleased to be beginning. Thank you.
Okay.
They will never take our freedom! All right, here's Sarah Dillon now, quiz mistress.
All right, I'll start with an easy one. Let's turn this down. In the 1993 movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray's character Phil Connors is awakened every morning by what
Rick.
Song playing in his alarm clock?
I got you, babe.
That is correct.
All right, that's one for me. Yeah, Rick. I'm not even going to write down the other names. Rick.
Are you doing just hitting the buzzer before? Are you just...
there's no rule that you have to wait to hear the whole question.
No,
if... you should make...
I don't believe there's a rule that you have to wait to hear the whole question.
No, because on most game shows you can say it.
You can buzz in at any time.
I'm fine. Cheating.
All right.
I'm with buzzing in whenever.
Okay, that's me. One for me, Rick Emerson.
What is the name of the local watering hole where Jack, Janet, and Chrissy...
Rick, the Regal Beagle.
God.
That's two for me, Rick Emerson.
Wow.
He really didn't see these. Okay. In a 1996 video for their song Big Me, the Foo Fighters parodied television commercials for what pop... Joe, go ahead.
Oh.
That's correct, Joe.
I knew that one, too. God damn it. All right, fine.
All right.
It's one for Joe.
How many of these are we doing? Like 20?
I don't know. As many as you feel we should do.
Okay. Relief pitcher turned bartender Sam Malone on the sitcom Cheers was known by what nickname when he took
Rick.
The mound?
Mayday Sam Malone.
That's correct.
Yeah. Of course it's correct. Oh, because we have lots of tickets, so we should do five per call and then move on? Okay. So he thinks we should do five with Joe and then five for, like, some one other person.
See, I feel like this is going to be old after the first day.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like do Joe here and then immediately do someone else.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so we got one more here. Doesn't matter because I am now going to win, but...
Oh,
all right.
Stop it.
We're taking one more now. Dennis has yet to get on the board, of course.
All right. On the cartoon series Scooby-Doo, Scooby and his teenage sleuth friends drive around in a multicolored van.
Rick, Mystery Machine... Oh, yeah.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Joe. Good job at losing. Yeah. All right, Joe, thank you. You're going to get a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show for daring to go up against my fantastic intelligence. Thank you, Joe. Hold on a second. There you go. That's Joe.
Okay.
I can introduce.
Let's do Dave here. I'm feeling warmed up. Dave, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, Dave. I'm going to put you Dennis and Rick. Okay. Best of five. Let's go.
In the 1986 movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris gets a table at a fancy restaurant by claiming to be
Rick.
Abe Froman.
Sausage King of Chicago.
That's correct.
That's one for me, Rick Emerson.
Shouldn't have smoked all that dope in the 80s. Damn it.
Okay.
Can't get the answers to my mouth quick enough.
I'm disappointed it wasn't a shutout with Joe, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. The lyric, I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife, it's lonely out in
Rick.
Space.
Rocket Man, Elton John. All right. That's two for me, Rick Emerson.
How many minutes make up a day in the life of a year in the song Seasons of Love from Jonathan Larson's musical and film Rent?
Kara? I don't know. Oh, no, we're all men.
I'm not even going to answer that.
No one's going to know this. I don't know.
A lot.
I guess it's, you don't care. Okay, what actor...
What's the answer?
525,600.
That's stupid. All right. That's fine.
So what do we do? So nobody...
Moving on.
Okay.
Right.
So you were so into this lyric thing. I'll do it in a minute. Okay. What actor bid Indiana Jones adios, senor, shortly before meeting his demise in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Dave.
Go ahead.
What actor? Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, God damn.
I Rick Emerson, know this
name?
One. Come on.
Oh.
Okay. The time is up. I should get to answer that.
Yeah. Indy, no. That guy.
Oh, that's dumb.
Right?
He tried.
Is it me?
No, what did you say?
Alfred Molina.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, that's me, Rick Emerson. I got that one right. We got two more.
Okay. Which film saw the unlikely pairing of director Robert Altman and a story by John Grisham?
Rick Emerson.
Yep.
The Rainmaker.
That is wrong. Oh, wrong.
Oh, it burns.
So I think he should win by default. If you get one wrong, I think the listener should win by default.
Then you can't retro makeup. Can't make up rules in afterward.
All right.
Dennis has quit playing. Dennis isn't even weighing in anymore.
Can we have a quiz on meaningful information?
Do you think you're listening?
Culture,
go listen to Lars. All right. Let's do one more.
Okay. I'll do Scotty's since he's so into it.
Scotty. Okay. Now, you said that Scotty's questions were retarded.
They are.
Okay.
But he got one. All right, in the Pearl Jam song, Jeremy, finish this lyric by picking the correct answer. Ooh, but we unleashed the lion, gnashed his teeth, and...
Rick.
Dave.
That you can't know. It's too late. I already said Rick. Bit the recess lady's breast. Yeah, that's me, Rick Emerson.
Weak.
Yeah. Weak.
He just says, Rick. And then he says it a little bit louder when he wants to answer.
Okay, now look. don't be angry at me because you're upset with your station in the trivia answering pantheon, my friend. All right.
Stop heckling your listeners.
All right, Dave, good job. And losing! You're going to get a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show for you and a loved one for the whole weekend, though, just for daring to step into the ring, sir.
Woohoo! Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
You want to hear a sample Scotty J question?
Yes.
Who is is the United States Secretary of Defense?
Rick.
No, this isn't the question.
Oh, okay.
You're not going against anybody. Do you have anybody?
I don't know. Megan wants to play. Hold on. Let's take a girl here. It'll feel good to beat a girl. Megan?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, would you like to play pop culture crap thing?
I would love to.
All right, it's the best of five. I, Rick Emerson, will win that, and then you'll get a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show, Megan.
Okay.
Come on, right. Megan, you can do it.
No, you can't, but let's...
Knock him off his pedestal.
No, it's not going to happen, but
all right.
It's good to have pipe dreams.
In the 1987 movie Can't Buy Me Love, high school nerd Ronald Miller plots to become one of the in crowd by renting a popular cheerleader with money that he had saved to buy what?
Dennis!
I know. Me again. Sorry.
A telescope.
Oh.
He is correct.
Oh,
in
Dennis,
your face, Rick Emerson.
Dennis gets on the board.
Yes.
I was all ready to blurt out, riding lawnmower! Because that's at the end there. Never mind. All right, fine. That's one for Dennis.
All right, so you guys should all know this one. Just a matter of who gets it first. What 1994 R.E.M. song was inspired by a bizarre story about Anchorman
Rick,
Dan...
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Yes.
Yeah, Neil Before Zod.
Yeah, go play that on your cassette.
Oh, did Megan hang up?
Megan?
Megan?
Megan!
I think we broke her spirit.
Way to beat up on the girl.
Yeah, like she was going to win. I don't think so.
I'm just, such an ass.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Not really.
So it's you two, one and one.
I'm just playing against my own great score now.
You guys are neck and neck.
Yeah, okay. I'm just playing to beat my best
now. Ask me something, anything, Otto, please.
Ask a Days of Thunder question.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, from which TV show did the phrase jump the shark originate?
Rick! Happy Days. Yeah.
That's right.
Don't look at me like that.
That's what I'm talking about. What, are you going to get up my grill?
Okay, what composer wrote the song Sooner or Later I Always Get My Man, sung by Madonna in the film Dick Tracy?
Rick.
Yeah?
I'm glad I don't know that one.
No, it's wrong. I was going to say Cole Porter, but that's wrong. I don't know.
That's wrong. Okay.
I'll take a point off even because I got that one wrong.
So are we still head-to-head?
We're now neck and neck. I took a point off because I got that one wrong.
Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Okay.
What two-time Oscar-nominated actress had her only scene as investigator Hal Slocum's wife cut out of the final version of Thelma and Louise?
Can you read the question again?
Which two-time Oscar-nominated actress had her only scene as investigator Hal Slocum's wife cut out of the final version of Thelma and Louise?
I have
a
hunch.
You know this woman, too.
I have a hunch, but I'm not secure enough to guess on it. Thelma and Louise.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, you'd like it. There's explosions and
young Brad Pitt.
And a young,
Oh, yeah,
that's why you'd like it.
That does it for me.
There's explosions in a car crash.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now off the record, can I guess?
I'll rent that.
Yes.
Jane Fonda.
Nope.
Catherine
Keener.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Catherine, I love her. Okay. All right, Dennis and I are kind of sucking at this one.
Okay.
We're to suck.
When she came out of the closet on April 30th, 1997.
Rick, Ellen.
No.
Oh.
Oh, default.
So that's
already
wrong.
I win.
Point
off. No, so I'm taking zero. A point off. Taking a point off.
What device did TV's Ellen Morgan accidentally use to declare her sexuality?
Oh.
And to whose character was Ellen speaking to?
Oh, I know the answer. That's the damnable misery of it.
Oh, I don't know, so you can catch up.
Can I get back on the board if I answer it right?
Sure.
It was a microphone, and she was speaking to Laura Dern.
Well, she was speaking to Laura Dern, but it was an airport public address system.
That's a microphone.
No, it says airport public address.
It's a microphone.
I don't see microphone.
That is made up of a microphone. That's all.
Could have been a phone.
Sons
I'm sorry, are
bitches.
We talking on airport public address systems right now?
Oh, don't give me your sass, woman.
Thank you. Thank you. High five.
Sass you until you can't walk upright. All right.
That was just wrong.
All right, I got half a point now. It's so embarrassing. Dennis is going to beat me of all people.
Days of Thunder question. Days of Thunder question.
All right.
Okay. What is the actual gender of Miranda Richardson's character Jude in 1992's The Crying Game?
Rick. A man.
Nope, it's a woman. You're negative.
It's got a penis.
No, that was played by a female.
In The Crying...
The actual gender...
Of the character?
The actual gender of... Yeah, of the character.
The character is a man.
It says female.
Okay,
Dennis.
That's wrong.
Dennis.
Hold on.
Dennis.
That's wrong.
Dennis.
That's female.
Dennis.
It's wrong.
Dennis.
I'm sorry.
Quit saying Dennis.
Female.
That's wrong. That's wrong. It's played by Jay Adams, who has a penis.
It's Hollywood.
Shut up.
No, this should have clued you. It says the gender of Miranda Richardson's character, Jude.
Yes, because... Wait, what are we talking about now? I think we're over.
No, we're not.
No, I think we're done. Don't we have to talk to Peter Carlin?
Oh, yeah.
Should we break?
Okay.
Let's break, and then we'll bring on Peter Carlin, talk to him for a few minutes, and then we'll have him in studio next week to make up for all of this terrible, terrible catastrophe. You know, that's not fair. That question was vaguely worded.
No, it wasn't, because I said a woman's name, and then I asked what her gender was.
Dennis beat you. Okay, here's the thing. Dennis,
I whooped you.
No,
I took you to the carpet.
Dennis didn't really win. It's that I lost.
No.
Dennis didn't win
hey,
that.
There's only one other thing besides the winner. The loser.
Well, we're out of time, Dennis. Thanks for coming to the
studio.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Emerson Show continues next. Sons of bitches. Stay right there. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcast day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, holy crap. The Geek Non-Aggression Pact is quite possibly the best thing ever. Please, please, please to be posting it online so that all may read and revel in that which is the finest geek out of all time. All right, I'll get it posted. Rick, the question was, what was the actual gender of the character played by Miranda Richardson? You got it wrong by not stopping to think about the question. You got tricked. Don't be a poor loser. You are a fool. Boo-hoo-hoo. Tom, thank you, sir. All right, here with Dennis Pitzenbarger. Yes, did you have a question?
I was a winner. I was going to see. Now, what was Joe Pesci? I would have pop trivia question. What was Joe Pesci's former profession in Goodfellas?
He was a shoeshine boy. Go get your shine box.
Look at those puppies right there.
Yeah.
Got those done on a truck.
Was this a whole excuse just to point your patent leather shoes after me?
No, I got those. Look at those. I got those shined on a guy. That, you know, you go back to that parking deal that you had. Remember that?
No.
You don't remember?
Hey, look at that. Peter Carlin's on the phone. Let's welcome him to the Rick Emerson Show. Oregonian TV critic and all-around fantabulous guy, Peter Carlin. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, I got to apologize.
Yeah, you sure do, buddy. What about?
Go get your shine box. No, because we didn't get to yesterday, and then today the show has run so unbelievably out of control. And we are not like some of the big-ticket, big-name shows who make their own schedules, where, like, Stern would go, like, 5.5 hours if he felt like it. I feel bad today that he got bumped, and then we're so short on time today as well. And also because, now here's the thing, congratulations to you, Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian, on getting an A in the new, and I have in my hands, the new Entertainment Weekly review of your book, Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, which you got an A.
Yeah.
Did the Boston Globe also call you excellent?
They did.
Who else is, can you give me, like, anybody else that's lavish praise on you?
Come on,
I know you can.
Brag.
I know you can. The Daily Mail.
The Chicago Tribune said something nice. I'm trying to remember what it is now.
Oh, like you don't have it written. Like it's not on your desk in front of you.
It wasn't quite as snappy as those other things. What else? The AARP magazine had something nice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Which on the one hand, one would scoff at because, you know, old people. But on the other hand, it's like the biggest magazine on the face of the planet.
No, it's cool. So, I mean, so let me ask you. We've become so confused about this. Is the book out now?
You think you're confused?
Though Amazon says it's already out. They said July 10th.
Yeah. Well, nobody, you know, it's like, it's...
If I go to the store, is it going to be there?
I'm not sure. Here's the thing. I don't have any copies yet because they thought they were sending them to me, but then, like, somebody forgot. But other people have them, so I get emails.
What other people?
Like my agent and the editor.
How wrong? You don't have a copy of your own book?
Doesn't that just blow?
It does. Okay, so when I get done, I'm walking to Borders.
Yeah.
Hey, Scotty, do you have a second? Scotty, can you quickly, on another line, can you get Borders downtown on the phone really quickly? We only got like 8 minutes. Call Borders, please, Scotty J, and ask them if they've got Catch a Wave by Peter Ames Carlin. If I could walk down there and see it, touch it, if I could buy it.
You could touch it.
Thank you.
Touch it once for me. Ooh, I hope that didn't get taken out of context.
Thank you, sir. We had all of this stuff. I mean, there's a million things to talk about the book itself, but I want to wait until people can, you know, go buy it. And on that day, we will have you in the studio, and it will be a grand and glorious pimping, Peter Carlin.
Okay, that's rocking.
In the meantime,
going to L.A. on Thursday, and I won't be back till like the 28th or something.
But that's okay, because for all I know, you could be in Mazatlan right now. You're on the phone.
That's true.
So you're going to L.A. when? Next Thursday?
This coming, like in 2 days.
God damn it. So you'll be back when?
The 28th.
Well, there's no point in having you in the studio then. Well, I guess maybe. Well, here's the thing. We'll have you on next Monday. We'll talk about the book, the whatever. And then when you get back, we'll have you in the studio and we'll do some sort of, you know, couple weeks removed pimping.
Pimpitude,
yes.
Pimpiosity.
Let's stop now. I feel like we ought to be talking about TV, or as my mom would say, the TV, in these last few minutes that we actually have you on the show, but there's really nothing to speak of, is there? I mean, the Emmys were out, and of course it's a bunch of frustrating nominations for shows that either I know no one is watching or for things that have already been canceled.
But can we talk about the cup that's half full?
What is that cup that's half full, Peter Carlin?
It's the pilots for this coming season.
Now, you've been lording over this Aaron Sorkin thing.
I just watched it the other day. It's fabulous.
Well, of course it is. It's Aaron Sorkin. And this is called Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip. It is a dramedy behind the scenes of an SNL-type show.
Yeah.
And is it genius?
Oh, it was really cool. You know, I didn't have many expectations. But lo and behold, it was really, really cool. I really enjoyed it. And you know who's really good in it?
Matthew Perry.
That's the guy.
Yeah, well, because he
always struck me as just sort of charming and facile and about an inch deep.
He was on the West Wing, and he was really good on there. So when I heard he and Sorkin were working together, I was excited. I was pumped, as the kids say.
Yeah. So it was, it's groovy. And then that show that Tina Fey won about SNL that takes place in New York.
Now, was that a very similar show to the Sorkin one?
Yeah, it's a sitcom, though.
All right. And
so it's the lighter side.
And it's good?
I was surprised. It was funny. I'm usually not a big Tina Fey fan, but I thought it was actually... But Alec Baldwin is pretty fantastic in it.
I love Alec Baldwin.
Love Alec.
Guy and anything. Hey,
so that was cool.
Scotty J, our intern here, has noted to me that he's taken to setting up a lot of interviews. I'm not trying to criticize him, because he's a self-starter. He's booked a lot of interviews with people, really, like without asking, and I don't mean like he has to ask my permission, I'm just saying he's gone ahead and done it. So he's scheduled David Cassidy and Kool and the Gang, and then he's typed on the screen that we will be talking, and these are my quotes, we will be talking with, quote, the Beach Boys, end quote, this week, apparently.
You...
Apparently, I'm going to be talking to whatever passes for the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys Incorporated.
I wonder if it's going to be, if it's Mike.
Well,
ask him about the book.
It's Mike, like Mike Love and like a bunch of 30-year-old guys that I don't recognize.
Well, actually, a lot of them are closer to 50.
But who is in the Beach Boys now?
It doesn't really matter. Well, one of them is one dude from the...
Not even Al Jardine.
No, of course not. He and Mike hate each other.
Of course. Well, Mike seems like an a-hole.
He is a little bit of a toxic personality.
Yeah.
And if you read the book, you'll know exactly what...
I'd like to read the book, but I'm unclear about whether it's available. Hold on a second.
Me too.
Scotty, do we know if I could go to Borders and buy it? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're trying to find out. It wasn't at the first Borders he called, which is not a good sign.
No.
All right. Are you eating something?
No.
Okay. So...
Try Pals.
All right. Well, that should have been his first... Yeah, Scotty, what do you think? So, all right, so there's the Tina Fey pilot, there's the Aaron Sorkin pilot.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of our old standbys are on hold
Friday
for a while.
Oh, Friday Night Lights, the football show?
No, is there a series?
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, it's funny, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. Friday Night Lights is one of the best sports films ever made, and I got to tell you, have you read that book?
Yes.
By Buzz Bissinger?
I did.
Friday Night Lights, the book, is so intense and powerful. It's one of the best books I've ever read, but I got to tell you, in a way, I almost regret reading the book Friday Night Lights because, in a way, it was so traumatic to read that it's, I don't know, it's like eating an especially spicy food and where your throat feels irritated for days afterward. That book did that to my soul. I just felt so disturbed and engrossed and upset and horrified by Friday Night Lights, the book. It's a fantastic book, but it was so disturbing.
You're a sensitive young man.
Yes, I am. Not enough people know that about me. But Friday Night Lights, the book, is such... It's fantastic journalism, but it is so horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie itself is a little lighter, but is still very dark. So the show is good?
Yeah, I was astonished. I didn't think... You know, the first episode was good. I mean, who knows?
What network is this on?
That's another NBC show. NBC's got this amazingly strong slate of new shows.
Is anybody in Friday Night Lights the series that I should care about?
All of them, eventually.
But I mean, is there anybody I know?
You know what? Maybe, I mean, none of the faces leaped out at me. They were all seemed pretty unknown to me.
That's amazing. You know what? That is fantastic news. I had no idea they were doing that. But that book and that movie are nearly flawless. I would say the book is flawless and the movie is nearly flawless.
I didn't follow the movie.
The movie is really good. I mean, it's...
The dude that developed the movie and maybe wrote it or directed it and now is involved with the TV show, this guy named Peter Berg.
Yeah, Peter Berg.
He and I went to college together.
Is that true?
Yes. And when at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota, when I got there, he was like 2 years ahead of me. And now, according to his IMDb bio, he's 4 years younger than me.
Really? Is that true? He's been shaven?
I'm totally real. It's like, I think the last time I checked his IMDb bio, it said that he was born in 1967.
So I'm going to start doing that next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did Very Bad Things.
Right.
He used to be an actor. He was in this movie called Shocker, which is a Wes Craven film.
He was in that great movie, The Last Seduction.
Yeah, and he's got a weird kind of delivery where he kind of puts things back at his throat like this.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you know what? That's exciting. I got to tell you, it sounds cheesy, but I am really pumped about that. That's three shows right there that I'm looking forward to.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, Border said the order is still 10-plus days out.
Oh, no.
So there you go. That apparently, according to Scotty, he has no motive to lie. He said that Border said it is still on order 10-plus days away at least.
Jesus. You know, all this excitement, everything's going to happen, like, and then by the time the books are actually available, it's going to be like yesterday's news.
And by the time, the audience will be so tired of me teasing him about it.
Yeah.
All right.
The active hostility about it.
I feel that's okay. They're busy directing their hostilities elsewhere this week.
All right.
Well, I feel bad we don't have more to talk about. We'll talk to you next Monday. Do more time.
I'm a little herky-jerky. I don't know what my time's going to be like on Monday because I'm going to be, like, running and gunning from one thing to the next.
Are you also higgledy-piggledy?
Higgledy-piggledy-pop.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll figure out a way to make it work. I feel bad that we've kind of shortchanged you. So we'll talk, and then when your book comes out, we'll have you in the studio, and we'll spend a solid hour whoring it as though the rent were due.
Sweet.
All right. Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you soon.
All right. There you go. That's Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I'm glad you made me wrap those spots.
Well, no. I just needed to rest.
Need
okay.
a break. Right. The show is over.
The show. I'm exhausted now. Don't you feel exhausted?
I'm a little worn down.
So this is all true.
Well, but listen, a dude cover
that's me. I played that by accident. He's trying to play something else. Now I'll see another comedic punch is going to be.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this when it's told. Rubs the lotion on
what better way to end?
Or else it gets the hose. And when it's done, there's one more thing, a simple little task. It's put the lotion in the basket. Put the lotion in the basket. All these stupid women are the same. Helps me not to think of them as human. So I call them it instead of by their name.
All right, we'll play the whole thing later. We'll play the later bomb. Hey, Scotty has a good point here. I want to thank all the listeners, and I mean this sincerely, for always having our back and watching out for, because we are pilfered from and will be pilfered from again, maybe sooner than you might think. So we do want to thank you guys because, all that stuff about how, the audience is there. Without you guys, we're just kind of some idiots with a microphone. So thank you for always being on the lookout. And that's not just Kristen. That's everybody out there that always defends our program from interlopers. So we love all y'all. So thank you for that. Peter Carlin, thank him. We want to thank Ed McCarthy, Jim Rube, Dennis Pitzenbarger, everybody who went up against me in the trivia contest knowing that they would fail. Court, Fat Boy, Sarah, Tim, myself, done with Bachelor's Grindy Down. Like us next. I already thanked you.
Yeah, but I won.
Oh, shut up. You shut your mouth.